And you're listening to New Morning, the WGXC Morning Show for Thursday. Pete Kirchhoff here with you until 11 o'clock. And as I mentioned, we're happy to welcome artist and sculptor George Spencer. He may have a different title for himself, but George, a pleasure to have you coming down here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's talk a little bit about, and we'll get to your exhibit that's coming up at the Joyce Goldstein Gallery, but I wanted to just ask about how you got involved with art and,
and
the basic materials that you use to create that art.
Yeah. I can sort of tell you how this all worked with me by quoting. I was listening to you on the radio when I was driving down here, and you had a song on by this guy, Simon.
Oh, yeah, Paul Simon. Yeah.
Paul Simon, right, where he said, I think of all the blank I learned in school, it's a wonder I can think at all. You know? So a lot of what I do is a process of, getting rid of stuff that I thought, that I learned, that I thought was... and I can read you a little quote from, this is a book of poetry of mine that was published recently. and it's a quote from the Wizard of Oz. And Dorothy says, if we walk far enough, we shall sometimes come to some place. So I keep walking. And the other thing that I really liked, which sort of explains a little bit about what I'm up to, which was Jean Renoir said to Bertolucci, two film guys, he said, you must always leave one door open on the set because maybe somebody gets in unexpectedly. So that's not how I got into the arts. But when I was about 6 or 7 years old, my mother took me to the museum and they had a thing for kids. And after it was over, she came and picked me up. And I said something about, this was really fun. I'd love to go back. And she said, well, the teacher said all you did was mix all the colors together and make a big mess out of it. And I actually didn't do anything myself in the arts until I was in my early 30s. I'd taken a lot of history of art classes, and I'd always gone to museums and whatnot. And I got involved with I started going to the Art Students League in New York, and also to the New York Academy, and I was ultimately there making life-size sculpture.
Wow.
And Andy Warhol was involved in that. He came in one day, and he was walking around with the guy who ran this place, and it was very academically oriented. And the guy who was running at it, they were standing just behind me, and he was pointing at the sculpture I was working on. He said to Warhol, he said, this guy will be an okay sculpture, but he's never really going to be good. So I figured, okay, I have had it with following the rules. And
interesting.
Yeah.
And so that was, I think we sometimes all have epiphanies about where we're going in life and, whatever.
Yeah.
It could be a person that influences us or just something we just decide, I'm going to do this. And whether or not something happens from it, I don't know. But, who has always said it's not the end result that you should aim for. It's just the journey, along the way.
Yeah, well,
that's getting there.
Yeah, that's what Dorothy was saying. Keep on moving.
Yeah, so you've put a lot of pieces together. And how much of your work is sculpture? How much of it is just mixed art? I mean, is there any rhyme or reason to it? Or do you think, I'm on a roll now with sculptures. Let me just keep going with that and then go back to something else later?
Yeah, that's what happened. At one point I got involved in writing a lot, so I wrote a lot of fiction and poetry. Then I got back into the visual arts. I wasn't doing representative sculpture or painting at that point. And I got much more interested in collage. I was living in Soho. So it was in the, in the 70s and 80s when you could go out in the streets, you could find all kinds of incredible stuff. So I started doing, sculptural assemblages. And now what I'm interested in more than anything else is sort of wall sculpture, which is sort of, in a sense, three-dimensional painting, but these pieces actually come off the wall. And I got started on this. I was walking around Manhattan when it was raining, and you know, see these old umbrellas around. And I realized that the canopy of the umbrella, the fabric part of it, you know, is a nice circular thing. It's about, you know, 2.5, 3 feet across. And so I started using those to paint on, and then I started putting things on them. And so I would go to these odd lot places, and, you know, you get a package of children's plastic toys. You can cut those up, and they're in very vibrant colors. Put those on there. So I did a lot of those. And then I thought that what would be a bigger canvas, to, so to speak, to work on, and I started thinking about parachutes.
Umbrellas to parachutes makes sense to
me. Umbrellas to parachutes, right. And so those are about 6 feet across. And so I started working on those.
Wow.
And, you know, and then sometimes I would cut pieces of them and assemble them as collages, as separate things.
Collages are actually very interesting, and you know, it's not just having the vision to see it through, but also just trying to figure out not only what you're trying to say with the collage, but how you pick each and every piece to go into it. So describe that process a little bit, George.
Well, I have found, you know, both when I'm writing, and I also did a lot of video. I did some documentaries and whatnot. And I found that a lot of people are very organized, and they have this in this box, this in that box, and whatnot. It works for them, and it's wonderful. But I find myself, if I'm just sort of surrounded by clutter, I can walk in and I can sort of see everything at once into my studio, or if I'm just walking down the street or something. And things just sort of come together, and that's worked for me. You know, I see a piece of fabric, or I see a piece of metal, or, you know, and it's a lot of this sort of verges on multimedia kind of things.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I remember when I first got, well, this is back in the 80s when I was first involved in radio and hosting a program and doing interviews. I remember my very first interview was with a jazz musician who lived nearby, and we recorded that first, just right on tape, and this was back in reel-to-reel days. And so we got about 40 minutes or so of the conversation, and then I had to edit that down, and I not only technically had to learn how to do it, and that was back in the razor blade and mark the spot days, but also trying to figure out what I wanted to keep and what I wanted, what I didn't need. And I thought, well, how am I going to ever come up with that? I know what I want it to sound like at the end, but how am I going to get there? And so I just started listening to it over and over and over again, probably a good dozen times, and the parts that I was going to take out just jumped out at me. And it was a total accident. I had no idea that was going to happen. I thought I would just struggle with this for quite a while. And I think that that's where the creative part comes into all of this, plus your art, is that sometimes these things, as you're going, they kind of jump out at you.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think what happens when you keep on doing something, the same thing over and over again, you relax. You get into a different part of your brain, and everybody has this part of their brain, and in it is the ability to pull pieces together. And you know, the most amazing thing about this is that I love children's drawings and paintings. And sadly, when they get to be about 6 or 7 years old, the boys want to draw trucks and the girls want to draw ballerinas, and most of them get frustrated because they can't do it and they don't understand perspective, but they can't make them look right, and they just stop doing it. But they have this certain purity, that's the right word, of vision, you know, that's there, and it's in everybody's head. You know, but it's so buried by all the garbage that surrounds daily existence.
Right.
You know, you see the same thing in I don't know exactly what the right, you don't want to call it primitive art, whatever the appropriate term is. You know, they didn't have any philosophical ideas they got from the Greeks or, you know, anything of that sort. They just did what they did. And, you know, I've always thought if the Metropolitan Museum burned down, all they have to do is get the collection of those things out and let the Raphaels go up in flames.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about Picasso and his late period the Cubist period.
Yeah.
And for anybody who's actually seen that, you would think, well, you know, here's a guy with a very interesting vision about art, and he's able to pull it off. And then you go back to when he was a teenager in his very early career. In fact, before it was even a career, I mean, he was a good realist.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was doing portraits that
absolutely.
You know, he had a basis in the basics. He knew what he was doing, and then got there. But there are the other people that kind of come in the other way, where they don't really have any rules. They don't really have any background in art or music or whatever that is, and yet they're able to make something creative and very unique.
I think what it ultimately comes to, well, the interesting thing, of just to go back for a second about Picasso, is Picasso's first teacher was his father.
Mm.
And his father, when Picasso got to be, I think, 12 or something, said, okay, if a 12-year-old can do this, I'm not painting anymore. And his father literally stopped painting. His father was a very accomplished painter. But Cubism came from Picasso going into a museum, the name of which escapes me, in Paris, where they had African art. He saw this stuff, and he said, oh, my God, this is it.
Wow.
That's where it came from.
So, George, you're going to have an exhibit, and this will be, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, the Joyce Goldstein Gallery.
Right, that's correct.
And that's right in Chatham. Can you tell me a little bit more about the show and what you'd like to have listeners know about your upcoming, because I also know there's an opening reception.
Yeah, that's on this coming Saturday. It's from 3 to 5. It's right at the Circle in Chatham. So if you come in on the main street, you can't miss it. It's right next to Ben Gable pastry place, which everybody knows. And then the other side is the pizza place that everybody knows. And she has a much bigger gallery than she had before. It's about three times the size of what she had before. What's in it is there's a series of these umbrellas. Some of them are fairly large. And then there's a couple of the parachutes, which are very large. And then there are a couple of pieces that are actually on the floor. There's some that are on the ceiling. And there are two sculpture pieces which are made out of cut-up parts of some of these umbrellas that are on the wall. And to me, the interesting things about all of these things is, for example, the parachute pieces. There's no real way you have to look at them. There's no up, there's no down. So if you want to buy this, put it in your house, and today you'd like to have the top on the bottom, and the next day you want the left on the right, or you want to drape it over a chair, or you want to hang it with part of it covered up, that's fine. It's that. So I'm very interested in this idea of people, instead of being reverential about the art that they look at, you know, realize they can react to it, they can react to it physically.
Yeah, and it can be interactive. You know, it brought to mind, when you're talking about all these pieces, getting these to art galleries, this is kind of like behind-the-scenes stuff. It's always nice for people to visit and see someone's art, but you got to get it there, unload it, hang it, or set it up, and then finally you can set back. But at the end of the show, of course, then you have to pack everything up and do it again.
It's all sold. It's all sold.
Every piece, the last two that didn't sell.
Yeah, me and Picasso, there's nothing left at the end. You know.
But that's got to be a little bit tough logistically speaking, that just getting all of these items to a gallery. But I guess you've managed to do that and have learned a lot of shortcuts, shall we say.
Yeah, you know, you have to be careful because the whole questions of, for instance, gluing or attaching plastic pieces to a fabric. I mean, I've found special glues that really work on this, but these are fairly, some of them are fairly tender and need to be framed, but a lot of them are, and there are other ones where there are 6 or 8 pieces or 10 pieces, and, you know, if somebody says, okay, I really like that, you know, I said to him, you know, do you want it just like that? Because if you do, I can staple those down and they're never going to move. Or do you want to take it home with you and you can put it together the way you want?
Yeah, that's great. So, George, tell me a little bit more again about the about your upcoming exhibit. Is that the Joyce Goldstein Gallery? Is there a way for people to get some more information about it?
What you can do is you can Google Joyce Goldstein Gallery, and there is a what comes up immediately on the web page is information about the show. There's you can get in from there. You can get into I had a previous show there. It was a two-man show. This is a solo show. But you can get into photos of everything that's in this show, almost everything that's in this show, and also the things that were in the previous show.
Great. Well, thank you so much, George, for stopping by. That's George Spencer, and he's got an opening reception on Saturday at 3 p.m. His show will run March 24th through April 29th. At the Joyce Goldstein Gallery in Chatham. That's at 19 Central Square between that nice pizza place and, I guess, bakery. So hopefully people will come by and see your work and perhaps be moved enough to buy it and take it home for themselves. Yeah. George, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.